Well, we're beginning our new February series. How many of you liked the last series, the Behold, I Give You Power? Isn't that good? You know, we talked about authority over all the power of the enemy. Jesus came and did a total job, didn't he? Praise God. We talked about treading confidently, power over fear. You know, you got to volunteer to be fearful. It takes you. The devil will hold the bait here. You just got to take it. But given, delivered. You have been given authority over all fear. And we talked about prayer power. Believing that you receive, even when you're praying in tongues or praying in intercessions and supplications, believing that you receive. Because God is faithful who promised, isn't he? Take a promise to God and hold him accountable to his word, because that's what he said. Bring my word to me. Put me in remembrance, he said. Let us talk. Declare thou that you may be justified. He loves faith. He loves that. And we talked about word power. The word of God is an amazing force to be reckoned with. Well, I like the last series. You want to just stay there for a while? Good. I liked it too. But we're beginning a new series, and you know, learning about God and learning about all of these things is fun. And it should be, because God is a fun God. God likes to have fun. He likes to enjoy seeing his kids learn about him, learn about how much he loves us, learn about how to walk in that love and how to get free from condemnation. He loves it. That guilt is has no place in us, and that we can walk free. He loves to see his kids walk free. He loves them to come to the table and see that they're fed properly. See that they have a good diet of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. He loves his word being discussed. And because in the word is correction, instruction and righteousness in his word. And, you know, I can remember coming to the table when I was a kid. We always ate dinner together as a family. Always, always. It was sacred. It was something that we honored. It's something that gave us, in those days, a lot of families ate together. Now they bring their cell phones. Put the blasted thing away. Come to the table and join yourself with people that are functional. Because, you know, they love you. And they have a life that you can share, and you can, and you have a life that can change. Get the thing, turn it off, and start talking and focusing on the people that you're with, on the family that you have. But I can remember, too, at that table, there were many serious discussions that took place, too. Where my father would come home, and, well, he'd tell us certain things that happened at the office. He'd tell us certain, and we'd tell him things that happened at school that so-and-so mouthed off to the teacher and got sent to the principal and da-da-da-da-da. You know, it was a time where we were just sharing and being who we were, a family, a family. But there were some serious discussions there, too. I remember one time when this, my father had to tell us something. He said, there's been some activity in this area that I want you kids to know, and we've received some police reports. There was one girl, one of the Anderson girls, the youngest one, who was approached by an older man who was bald. They called him Baldy. And he chased her. He was trying to kidnap her. And we all just got quiet and just listened to my dad. He said, so when you go out, when you ride your bikes out to the club, we used to have this lake we used to go to, and they had tennis courts and baseball fields, and I used to leave early because I wanted to get the ball field first so I could get in the first game. And they just play ball games all day. So he said, just make sure when you ride to the club that you're with other kids, that you're not alone. Be aware of what's going on. He didn't say all this to scare us. He told us this because he loved us and he wanted the very best for us. He didn't want to see something happen. And I remember getting up from that table that day. I was changed. I suddenly became aware of, because we were sheltered from all that stuff. We never really, it never really came, you know, on our shores. And I realized that this could have been a very different discussion if that guy, but she was alert, and she got those two legs running, and she ran. She ran, and he chased her, too. But she got away. Praise God. And that table discussion could have been much different. And I realized that. It was like a sudden realization that things are real. This world can be a dangerous place. We don't have to fear it, but we need to be careful. We need to be aware. Amen. So let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Because this is the kind of conversation that Jesus was having at this time. And the things in that he's desiring to get over to us, not to scare us, but to reveal his love for us and his care for us, and that we need to open up and listen to him and follow him. Amen? And you know, when we open the scripture, we're opening our hearts and minds to our loving Father. Because this word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Oh, the word of God is alive. Is there anything that the word of God can't do in your life? Praise God. So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and spacious and broad is the way that leads to life." I'm sorry. "For wide is the gate and broad and easy to travel is the path that leads the way to destruction and eternal loss. And there are many who enter through it." Many. "But small is the gate, narrow and difficult to travel is the path that leads the way to everlasting life. And there are few who find it." The Amplified Classic says this, "But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straightened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it." These are sobering words. Welcome to the table. We're going to have a little discussion here. See, if you're going to have any kind of a real relationship with the Lord, any kind of thing that gets under the surface and gets down into a depth, a real communication with the Lord who really knows you and really understands you, and you understand that there's nothing in you that you can hide from him. Everything is open and naked before the eyes of whom we have to do, the Bible says. You know, there's nothing. If you want to get past what we call the happy face, smiley face, church face, the Christian add-ons that we always do. If you want to get beneath that, you're going to realize that you have to take Jesus at his word. Amen? And you're going to have to come grapple with a truth that we can't just put everything on God. We've got to realize what he has put into us. And it goes beyond the Christian happy face, the Christian smiles that when we come to church. But then when we go home and apart from that, there's not much to be happy with. Not much to smile about. We need to get beneath the surface and get into the real flow and current of the Spirit of God and where Jesus is and where he wants to meet us. Amen? Amen. Receive that? He didn't speak words just so that he could have the power to make all our decisions for us. He spoke words to us so that we could apply them to our life. Grow with them, let them operate in us and become doers of the word. Nothing happens automatically. Say that. Nothing happens automatically. Amen. God doesn't force his will or his word on anybody. You know, you can teach. You can't make your kids' decisions for them, can you? You can give them knowledge. You can teach them. You can instruct them. You can give them understanding. You can try to give them wisdom and a workable knowledge of things. You can do all that. But when it comes down, you can't make your kids' decisions for you, for them. They have to make their own decisions. And sooner or later, they will be making all of their decisions. Well, it's the same with you and God. God can give you wisdom. He can give you understanding. He can give you knowledge of his word and his will. But he can't make your decisions for you, and he won't. I heard one preacher say, in fact, it was Brother Hagin said, you know, God will let you go to hell. I'm not talking to this present crowd here. But there are many people who choose to go there and they don't even know that they've chosen. They've just rejected Jesus. They don't know what awaits them for that. Well, the whole world knows that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. And they start to excuse, and they go through the wide gate. And it leads to destruction. These are sobering words, but, you know, then again, anything Jesus said shouldn't be taken lightly anyway, right? I've heard Bible teachers stumble through this scripture. And they talk about the gates and the doors, and they talk about life and destruction and everything, but they never really get down to the crux, down the very foundation of what Jesus is talking about here. Where he's coming from. And that's my first point. What we need to do, and where we approach the narrow gate, is to understand that the religious mindset that we grew up with, that God is responsible for everything and we're responsible for nothing, that's a lie. Amen. We are responsible to receive his word and to apply it in our life. We just are. He's not going to do that for us. He can give us his word. He gave us his life. He has done more than any person could ever, 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 ever possibly even approach doing for anybody else. And all he asks us to do is follow him. If you were sitting at the table with Lazarus, wouldn't you be asking him questions? Where were you? What happened? What was it like? Anyhow. Ever since the beginning of creation, the decision-making process of man has always been man's and not God's. That's why we're in the condition we're in now. If God could have stopped that and made a decision for anybody, he would have stopped Adam and made its decision for him. Anyhow, we can't make our children's decision and God can't make ours. Too many times Christians blame God for all their bad choices. How did God, you know, and the thing, I remember going to a funeral of a lady who was a chain smoker and she died of lung cancer. And the family, so we were shocked. And then the son said, God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? What are you going to do with that? I felt like Jack Benny going, oh, Rochester. So, and get out here and explain to this family. You can't blame God for your bad choices. You do not want to go there with God. You don't want to have that discussion. Otherwise, you'll be like Job when God finally did start talking. He says, where were you when I founded the earth? Where were you when I did this and that and the other thing? Where were you when I created the stars? Where were you? That was a long lecture. Anyhow. See, Jesus is looking for those who have set their seal that God is true. You know, in John chapter 3, turn there if you want to. John the Baptist's disciples came to him, and they said, you know that guy that you bore witness of? He's baptizing more people than we are. What should we do about that? And John the Baptist answered, John chapter 3, verse 27. I'm sorry, verse 33. He that has received his testimony has set his seal that God is true. But let me read up to that part. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. In verse 27. Boy, if we could get that truth, we would eliminate a whole lot of pride from our life. We would eliminate a whole lot of strife with others. We would eliminate envy, confusion, and the like. If we could just meditate, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You know, think of Kanye West. All of a sudden, here he is, saved. And he's in front of thousands of people. He chose a narrow door when he was accused of rebelling against his own race, they said, you know, and all the smear tactics that they use. No, he stood up for Jesus. He stood up for what he believed is right. And he stood up for a standard that they didn't have. So all they could do, he went through a narrow door, and he knew it was right. And he didn't know what the outcome, if people were going to just walk away from him by the millions. He had no idea. But he knew this. And a lot of the leaders in the church talked against him. You get behind a guy like that. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. All the talents that God breathed into Kanye when he was created, when he was born into this earth, God saw purpose. God saw the potential of reaching an entire generation. Then he said, you yourselves bear witness of me that I said I'm not the Christ, but that I'm sent before him. He that has the bridegroom, he said, the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, and I must decrease. Boy, there's another one. If we could meditate on that a little bit. More word, less me. Increase in the word, increase in prayer, increase in the spirit, increase in renewing in my mind, and decrease everything else. That solved a lot of problems out of the gate. And then he said, he that comes from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. Then he goes and describes Jesus. And he says, and what he has seen and heard, that's what he testifies of. And no man receives his testimony. And he that has received his testimony has set his seal that God is true. Have you set your seal that God is true? Right here is an indication of preparation, of getting ready to go through that narrow door that he's leading us to. Crowds, currents, trends. They'll always, 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 100% of the time, lead you and deceive you and lead you the wrong way. But the ones who have set their seal to the fact that God is true, those are the ones that are dear to him. And I'm not saying that he doesn't love, he loves everybody. He loves, they're all special to him. But the ones that are dear, that he can have table fellowship with on a common understanding, have set their seal to the fact that God is true. Even when the world abandons you, you've set your seal to the fact that he's true. When the world reviles you, you set your seal to that he is true. And he will stand and he will vindicate you. You know, when Mary poured that spikenard on Jesus' feet, and Judas started to criticize her, and it started a stir. Yeah, I mean, why wasn't, if he cares so much about the poor, then, you know. Jesus said, let her alone. He will come and vindicate you when the things that are Jesus's become precious to you. The crowds, the currents, and trends, they're all the crowds, all the popular vote, let's say, they are all governed by weakness. The weaknesses of a broken, fallen world with broken people, demons and curses and death. Insecurity. You have the need to fit in with the crowd. You have the need to do what everybody else is doing and be accepted by them. Mm-mm. That's the wide door. Look at Facebook. Some people, they base their entire worth on how many likes they get on Facebook or how many people respond to their Instagram. That's what they're determining their value. I know one minute, Keith Moore's ministry, you can see it on his website. We do not do social media. Instagram, Twitter. Look at all these things. People are crying out, really. They want a response. They want to know what they have to say is important to you. It all comes down to the decisions we make. Are they leading us to or from God? Are they leading us to fear or faith? Are they leading us to hatred and bitterness or to love and really caring for people? You know, in this day and age, if you watch any of the media, I mean, it just rises up in you. I mean, there's resentment. And it's designed that way. It's designed to offend you. And you keep locked up and locked out of God's love. But you know what? It was no difference in the early church. The emperor was burning Christians alive, putting them on stakes, covering them with tar, and lighting them on fire. Isn't that what Islam did to that Jordanian pilot? Basically, it just fills you with something. It's a natural knee-jerk reaction of your flesh. But the only thing that will solve anything is the love of God. Believe it or not, it's the truth. It's the love of God that changed me. It's the love of God that changed you and caused you to see the futility of all that stuff that you're holding on to. The world will turn. The sun will come up tomorrow. And Jesus will come to get his church out of the world. Don't get caught up in that stuff. Get caught up and love your neighbor as yourself. Get caught up in that. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Get caught up in that. The world is nothing but a huge distraction and is governed by demons, curses, fear, and torment. In God, Jesus said, I give you my peace. We all need to go through that narrow gate every single day. We're at the table here. You needed to go through that gate this morning. You need to go through it tomorrow morning. It may be narrow to a world that places no value in God or the things of God. Look at the TV just look at the TV shows that are on. They mock him. They despise him. They resent him. They make fun of him. That's all they do. They just do. He has no value to them. His standards and the things that he preach are mocked. Not going to go into any detail there, but in fact, I can't. Just know this, that your Father is a liberator. He is not somebody who puts a standard here, and then when you get there, raises it higher. And then when you get there, raises it higher. No, he's fulfilled all the standards. He asks you to follow him. And the thing I like about him, the narrow way, is as I get older and older, it just seems like the he gets narrower and narrower. But there's only one thing that he may be dealing with you. He doesn't want to deal with everything about you. There's one thing he wants to deal with you at a time. One thing. He's so good. Do this and we'll get to the next. Do this and we'll get to the next. Do this and we'll get to the next. Fix this. Let's do this. Let's solve this. Let's come to an understanding and agreement about this one thing that's in your life. And let that be your next step. You know, I mentioned this earlier, that you can go through a whole life without realizing what life is about. You could be born into this world, you could be educated, have a good family, grow up, be successful, have a wife and a family, and then you get to the end of it, and then before you know it, you're looking at an eternal judgment and realizing that that narrow door suddenly has become very important, but it's too late. Because you never realized what it was all about. And since you did not accept Jesus, you rejected him. So it's that's the world. In the church, we can get the surface and relationship with Jesus and never really get the heart of Jesus, that heart fellowship with Jesus that's available on a daily basis if we simply just get into his word and let his word get into us deeper and deeper. We need to be aware about the weight of our decisions. We need to be aware of who we surround ourselves with, who we let speak into our lives. Amen? Decisions determine destinations. Decisions bring you from one place to another. We've talked about this before. If you enter one room, that means you leave this room. If you enter a house, that means you leave outside. There's a transition involved. It's like the two blind men that followed Jesus, and Jesus went into a house, and then they went into the house. What did they do? They left something outside, and they entered in. They left their unbelief outside because they decided that Jesus had their future. Decisions, decisions, decisions. You know, last week, we were all saddened to hear that when we were fellowshipping in the Word here last week, and we had that good fellowship in the back and friends and family Sunday, and when we got home, we found out that Kobe Bryant was killed and his daughter and seven others. But did you know that there was decisions made that led to that? Alex Villanueva, the sheriff of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, they grounded all of their helicopters that morning. Los Angeles Police Department grounded all of their helicopters that morning. The helicopter that they had did not have a certain instrument inside it that would let them know if there was a hill or obstacles. And they decided to go anyway. I don't know whose decision that was. It doesn't matter now. It's done. That decision was made to fly, and it was a fatal one. Decisions matter. They're ever before us. We need to make the right ones. We need to get at the table with our Father and say, which way should I go here? What should I do here? This is something that we really need to do. Amen? Am I the only one? But there's sometimes when God has to say, look, if you really want to enjoy, if you really want to have the fun of taking my yoke upon you and learning of me, you got to get some things right at the door. And you got to choose the right door. If you want to be accepted, if that's your thing, by other people and be popular and everything, that's the wide road that leads to destruction. But if you want the narrow gate where God is, and the things of God and the power of God. So you don't have to worry about loss or healing or anything. It's a full supply with God. It's all full supply. Why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want the assurance and peace of a heaven that is before you and a Savior who's waiting for you? You can't buy that. There's nothing in this world that you can compare to that, because it's not of this world. My question to you this morning is, are you prepared to go through that narrow door tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon? Decisions happen all day long. They come and they go and they're fast. Are you ready to go through that gate? Are you ready? Because it's a gate that you alone will fit through. This is not the normal gate that has hinges on it, that's attached to a fence or a wall or something where you have to open. No, this is a gate, a doorway of decision. It's a decision gate. That's the gate that he's talking about. It's not like James Earl Jones walking out into the cornfield at the end of Field of Dreams into oblivion. Because you don't leave this world when you make those decisions. You manage it. Look at this again, Matthew chapter 14. Boy, I got a lot in here, don't I? I'm sorry, I can't get back there. I'm sorry, but Matthew 7, verse 14 says, "But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads to way to life, and few are those who find it." It gets intimidating. You feel the pressure. The door opens. It opens us to ridicule. It opens us to criticism. They call you a bigot because you believe that, and people will say, "You're a bigot. You don't accept our way of life." When their life is what the Bible calls sin, no, I'm sorry, I don't. I've made my decision a long time ago. It's the Word. It's the Word. We all need that. Here's a strong conviction. Two girls showed up at my door the other day, Friday, and rang the doorbell. I answered the door. And they're two young girls, and they say, "Hi, we're missionaries in the area." And I saw the sister so-and-so. And I said, "Are you Mormons?" And they said, "Yes." And I said, I'm a born-again Christian, and I pastor a church called Testament of Love over in Carpentersville. And I don't think we have any common ground of interest here. And I certainly don't, and I certainly know that there's no common faith between us. She said, "That doesn't sound like love." I said, "Well, you got to remember that the Bible says that love rejoices in truth." Be prepared, because they're coming. Be prepared all the time. Be armed with the Word of God, just like Jesus. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's your example. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. It is written. You know, the devil will come at you through people. He'll come at you through suggestions that you see when you're driving, you see a billboard. He'll come at you through as soon as you turn on the TV. He comes at you any way he can. But any way he comes at you, God can come at you the same way, because he's not limited. Don't turn to those things that don't supply you with a full supply. Somebody said there's no absolute truth. Well, if there's, that's an absolute statement. There's no absolute truth. Well, then decisions mean nothing. Ask Kobe Bryant that. If there's no absolute truth. Decisions determine destinations. In fact, you can go through the Sermon on the Mount, and if you approach it from the standpoint that he's talking about decisions, it will open up a whole new thing to you, a whole new understanding. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be merciful. They shall receive mercy. Well, what does that say to you? I can decide to be merciful so that I'll receive mercy. Or I can decide to be judgmental, and then I will receive judgment. Judge not, lest you be judged. It's the same sermon. Leave this table this morning with the idea that your decisions do matter. They're weighty. That you need to make the right ones, but you need the right counsel. And God's not saying this to scare you. God's saying this to guide you because he loves you. Amen? Sometimes we just need to have a table discussion. And since we're at the Lord's table this morning, I figured it's a good time to have it. But God is a liberating God. He's a freeing God. If it doesn't lead to freedom, if it leads to fear, if it doesn't lead to love and it leads to hate, you have the decision which way you're going to go, the wide way or the narrow way. Amen? You receive that this morning? It's not what I call one of those power messages, but it's the right one. God put it on my heart. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the fact that we are your children. And we listen to your voice. And we thank you, Father, for the ability to walk in the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer for anything else, please come up. We'll pray for you. And God is committed to answering prayer. And we take him at his word. So please do that. Otherwise,